All right, praise God. So first of all, talking about the review, the review that we had on this, eliminating fear, and hopefully you recognize what fear is, because we've allowed ourselves to be misled into redefining fear, and we've turned it into a person being a quote unquote coward, or let the world define what fear is, while God let us know it is a dangerous characteristic that people have, but you got to understand what it is so you don't have it. We realize there are two types of fear. There's what's known as a timid fear and a reverent fear. God said he did not give us the spirit of fear. And the reason why we keep using the word fear is because it's our English translation. So the word timidity, the word one fear is of a timid. And it comes from one Greek word that was translated into fear. And then you have another one that is reverence, which is more of a respectful type of fear. And we definitely want the second one. And the first one is showing when it's based upon us or anything else other than God. And that's when we allow ourselves to kind of stir up fearful and react based on us or by what the world says. That is a timid fear, not based on God, never from God. Not only are we not to react to it, we are not to ever inflict it on anybody. We're not supposed to use it as a weapon. And and so if you fight or flight in this, does it make you a person who doesn't have fear? A person who fights, like we said before, is still fighting on the basis of fear, so they're still doing it out of fear. So don't, mistake the action for the basis. But the reverent fear is a respect. It is a total respect for God. Only God gets that. But in that fear, we have access to what we call true wisdom. Today, we're going to get to see why I keep stressing the word true wisdom. But true wisdom allows us then to realize the difference between walking off of a cliff or getting into a bad situation. You'll be able to assess and through the wisdom God gave you. Now, that's the difference maker, because you have some people, because they're not accessing God's faith, true reverence, and they're not doing it in that way. They'll do things in the name of God and say, "Hey, I'm not fearful," while in reality they're doing something foolish, which the Bible shows us their foolishness. That's why the Proverbs 22:3 says a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. And you see that time after time with self-proclaimed Christians who do foolish things based on the Bible because they're not doing it out of reverent fear. So what is reverent fear? We got a chance to see it came in those three different forms: power, which is based on dealing with situations; love, which is based on dealing with relationships; and self-discipline, which is based on dealing with self. If any timid fear comes from anything, the source is going to be one of those three things. So his spirit provides us with everything we need for those. So we started on the first one, which was power. We showed that that name come from the Greek word dunamis, which we get dynamite from. We've seen that there are those that claim to be Christian but do not acknowledge the power of God's power, do not acknowledge God's power. That's where it says they have the image of him, but they deny the power, the form of godliness. In other words, we like to put on a show. We want people to call us godly. I can't stress this enough. You may be able to fool people down here, but you got some people that people are calling godly based off of what they think they see that are headed to hell. You don't want that. That's why I said, don't defend your wrong Christianity. Ensure it. Make sure it is. That's why he says, make your calling and election sure. You always check that out. So the power will make me check into him, not check into myself, not into what I think it is. God's power has given us everything we need. It says his divine power has provided us with everything we need for life and godliness. And then it told us how to access it through our knowledge of him. I went over in detail what that relationship or that knowledge meant. Hopefully you got that. If you didn't, make sure you ask that question at the end. And we'll go over it as much until you get it, because that relationship is so important to our walk. And then we've seen that God has provided us with weapons based on his power. What Satan wants you to do, he could care less if you fight. He just wants you to fight incorrectly. You understand that? As long as you fight incorrectly, you still lost. He wants you to think that you're winning. And that's what so many people are doing. We're getting involved with stuff in the wrong way dealing with it. And Satan's like, good, my job here is done. He leaves while we're thinking we're doing something good and we're reacting good. So don't get into that problem. So going back to this here, don't mistake it for fleshly power. Okay. This power protects us from the ultimate death. Now, when I say don't mistake it for fleshly power, this is one of the reasons why a lot of the Israelites or Jews rejected Jesus, because even though the Old Testament pointed towards who he was, you know what I mean? His humility, his love, his compassion, they were still looking for, like I said, a fighter. They were looking for this warrior because that was their definition. Unfortunately, we still do the same thing today. You hear people kind of describe Jesus, it usually fits their desired outcome. And this is why they'll get caught up in really bad teaching and follow really bad teachers for the simple fact that they're looking for the wrong weapon. They're looking for the wrong thing. And they look for fleshly power. Look at what it says here, what Paul's inspired to say in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 19. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Okay? So in other words, people who don't live the saved life, who are truly not saved, the whole cross thing makes no sense. Still makes no sense. He did what? He came down here. He died. I don't get it. And even when you say he died for your sins, they're like, what does that mean? But they'll just kind of accept it and go on with their lives. And the way you know they do is because their lives will show they haven't accepted. Remember, Christianity is a lifestyle. So it says they're perishing because they're still living, you know, with the ideology instead of going for God. But watch what he says. He says, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Keep that in mind. So the message of the cross is the power of God. That's going to come up really soon. So I'll show you what that means. But as it's showing, we recognize what he did just infused power in everything that we do. So we see power much differently. It says, for it is written, I will destroy, watch this. Now, that's why I was talking about wisdom. The wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Now, those who are not Christian are still worldly wise and still worldly intelligent, which actually make them fools. So some of the most brilliant people, and if you look in the science realm and these people that we usually go to colleges and stuff like that, most of them are atheists. And we call them the most brilliant people. And what has the church done? In many cases, it's invited these people into the church to help maintain, to run, and deal with the church. Now, in no way am I saying you got to be worldly stupid. What I'm saying is you understand how worldly intelligence works. Do you understand this? What people have done wrong is they have allowed their worldly intelligence to guide them in a spiritual matter. And this is where it messes them up. And Jesus said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. Because if you look throughout history, all this stuff and where we're at is by what we call brilliant people, and the world's in a horrible place. Okay? We don't like acknowledging it, but it is. A lot of the, you know, things that we have done that we call that were great are actually just making people worse. We are in the worst spot of where humans have ever been in our minds and in our lack of love and just in the state that we're in because of us following those we call intelligent. Still today, we're still attracted to and being led by people that come up and hit you with a bunch of big words, with a bunch of things, and they get caught up in that. In fact, we must allow God to use us to deal with situations and stop trying to deal with them ourselves. You know what I mean? We in this power that he gives us, we go into it trusting in him. Now, what does that mean? Please don't be one of those who just go, I'm trusting God, and then do foolish things. Please, this here's the deal. If you say you trust in God, your actions will show that you trust in God. Think about that. He's not just me going, I trust in God, and then I go do some crazy things because then I don't trust in God. If I truly trust in God, I'm in his word to follow exactly what he says. Now, me doing exactly what he says, no matter what's going on around me, then I trust in God. But if I'm just one of those people, I don't read my Bible, I don't really understand it, I don't do this, I trust God that he's going to, and we just say this compassionate thing, God's like, no, you don't trust me because I told you this, this, and this. First of all, you didn't find out what I told you to do, and those who did find out what I told you to do, you're not doing it. So you don't trust me. And this is the key. A lot of our situations are going to destroy us, not because God didn't do what he said he was going to do, but because we're not trusting him, and we're relying or allowing the situation to dictate us. It shows us in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. He says, watch what Paul says here also. or inspired to say here. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. Now, let me stop there for a minute. So some people are going to say, so am I supposed to be scared and weak? Is that what you're telling me? The problem is not that. It's the recognition of what he is. Okay. And compared to everything down here, I am nothing. And that's what we have to understand. But look what he didn't allow to do. He says, I came to you. Because a lot of us, there's a lot of stuff we won't do because we allow our weakness, fear, and trembling to define what we are. No, that's what I am without God. Do you understand this? See, he's stating this is what he is in himself. And he said, I came to you myself with this, but he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words. So he wasn't depending on his whole background and how he spoke and charmed people. And I have to get people to listen to me and all this other stuff. He said, watch this, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Remember this up here? We're being saved by its power. That's the power of the cross. That's the word of God. So in other words, the main thing we have to clearly preach is God's word. Not me getting up there and saying some fantastic thing, some story that makes you go, wow, I don't want you to follow me. You have a lot of people who follow teachers. They'll never check them, and they follow these teachers. And as the Bible showed, blind lead the blind, as sheep led to the slaughter. And we do it foolishly. You'll hear them follow books. You'll hear them follow ideologies. And simple word is, hey, can you clearly show me that in the Bible? And they can't do it, but they love this teacher. He's saying, I didn't use that stuff. All you got was the Bible, demonstration of the Spirit's power. He says, why? So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. There are people who followed people for years, and then you watch what that person said fail. And they're devastated. Problem is, that person's devastated at God because they didn't know the difference. They were following a man, and so that man failed. However, a person who followed God's word, didn't matter what that man did. You're still going to pray for that man. You realize that. Hopefully everybody seeing me and me seeing I'm no different than anybody else out there. My job is to present the word, and you're coming to me going, Pastor, all I want is the word from you. So make sure you give me the word because I'm going to check you. I love you, but I'm not going to let you mislead me. So that's, you want your faith not to rest on Pastor Keith. You want your faith to rest on God, God's power. See, if this is where, and the way you know it also, how many of us have gone to ministers and they've given us some mixed up nonsense on dealing with certain spiritual situations? We had questions with the women's group, women's question and answer on Monday. And there are people who are dealing with some spiritual things. And it's easy for me to go read Psalm 19 and do this 12 times and then pray this. And then, I mean, you see the Catholic Church do that. You know, you, how many times you have to say your Hail Marys and all this other stuff. They give these things that God never said, had nothing to do with God, you know what I mean? And people will do it because it seems that way because you're following a man instead of, can you show me what the Bible says? And the Bible puts that stuff plainly. The problem is, it doesn't seem like it works. But that's why it's called trust. Do y'all get this? See, if I go off of what it seems like, I'm leaning upon my own understanding. God told me to do this. I'm like, that's not going to work. Seek first kingdom and his righteousness. I can't see that. I've tried to do that and I'm still poor and I don't have, that's how we would act. A person who trusts in him, they're just living it and they're trusting him and it's going to show in us living it. That's his power. You know what I mean? You're not scared of a recession. You're not scared of losing your job, but you're not going to do nothing foolish to put yourself in a recession. You're not going to do nothing foolish to lose your job. You see, you understand that. That's still living in fear because you're doing something foolish. Don't mix it up. Now, the more we engage our own strength, the weaker we are. One of the questions that's always asked a lot of times, how come we don't see as much of the things that they may have seen in the Bible times? And the biggest reason is we engaged us. We are the most fleshly strongest we've ever been. Now, I'm not talking about just in muscle. I'm talking about in every aspect of the flesh. We truly depend on our smarts so much that it even distorts God. So that's why it's hard for us to recognize true spiritual reactions to mental reactions or physical reactions or whatever, because we just don't know the difference because we've engaged our intellect so much. We've engaged our ability so much, our talent so much. Do you understand? We depend on our leaders in their human side so much. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Our attractions too much. It shows in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Basically, all I need is his grace. That's it. Now, for those who don't know any better, we would think that means I just need to say his grace and I have everything I need. That's not how grace works. Remember, grace is still part of that Christian lifestyle. It's that gift which teaches us. You understand? Grace is much more than me just getting this free gift. It's part of it. You understand? But it's going to be part of the lifestyle. He says, all you need is my grace. So a person trusting God will totally live for God's grace. That would answer it. You don't see that. You do not see that. You see us maybe mostly investing in this fleshly, right? Depending on this fleshly, and then we'll sprinkle some grace on the top. And you'll see it in different forms. But he made very clear, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's a weird thing to say. He's saying, my power. So in reverse, he's saying, you hide my power when you become strong. Now, is this saying it's making God weak? It's saying no, because remember, God indwells us and God empowers us, right? So, but that's for us to access. However, if I keep living in my own strength, I'll only access his power when I think I need to. And that's Satan's job, is to make me think, Keith, you're strong. Keith, you're smart. Keith, you should get what you want. You deserve this. Why are you doing this? You're entitled to this. And I keep engaging me. I don't engage him. I lean upon the me when my feelings are hurt, when you bother me. I'm not going to just let you walk all over me. I really deserve. I can't believe they said that to me. We allow all this stuff to get in the way. Well, if I was in his grace, it would never be about me. And his power is not just more powerful, it's made perfect. Y'all get this? And true weakness is not, because I'm going to give you something that you may not get, because hopefully when we did the sermon on humility, weakness isn't the other end where you do nothing, where you cower and you go hide and anything like that. No, weakness is an understanding of what I really am. Do you understand this? In any way, if I think I really am anything, that's weaker and true weakness I become. But when I recognize how weak I am without God, that's when I truly allow his strength to really shine, because I get out the way. I don't try to get out here and wild nobody with my speaking. I don't get out here and try to save you. I don't get, I recognize what he says when he says, I plant the seed, the pollen waters it. My job is to look to God and say, what would you like me to do? Got it. But you got people here that are still trying to shine. I want my name to go up here and I want to make sure they remember me and see how great I am and me and all this other stuff. And it makes us weak. That's why he made very clear where Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And this is another one of those that if you really get this, what you'll show is what he says at the end here. He says, this is why, for Christ's sake, watch this, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulty. All of these categories we go through one way or another. And you'll watch a person. Either these will be the things that make them change, which shows they're not depending on Christ. It's pretty deep, isn't it? This is sickness right here, mental or physical sickness. If I allow that to ever be my excuse not to do what God says, I'm not depending on Christ. This is when they insult my character, when they say something bad against me, when they hurt my feelings and I react outside of God. That means I'm not trusting on God's strength. Hardships is when I go through a hard moment. You're doing something and everything's going well, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you fall into something that's just not working out. Why isn't it working out? Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? How come every time everything's because? And if you allow that to make you stop or you quit or you leave and you have people doing that, you are never trusting in Christ's strength. Persecutions, you did exactly what the Bible says, but it seems like everybody else is winning. What is your next move? Most will go, that's why I don't do anything. That means you weren't trusting in Christ in the first place. You were trusting in your own self. And difficulties are in those pockets of moments. Not so much difficulties and hardships, so I get the two mixed up, but they're about the same thing. Because one is a season of hardship where it seems like everything's going wrong. And one of them, in your regular season, you'll have pockets of hard things. You know what I mean? You'll have a person that all of a sudden shows up that gets on your nerve. You'll have a project or something you have to work on, or a situation in your life that's really beating you up. And in all these cases, how I respond to it will show if I'm truly engaging Christ or if I'm not. And I have to, you know, I have to admit, even in my own self, many cases I've seen these things make me react instead of me always reacting in Christ. Because when you get it, a person realizes in all these things, I will delight in them. That's almost as bad in our human fleshly minds as saying, count it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. Now he's saying, be delighted in these things that hurt. Be delighted in these things that feel bad, because it's not about the feeling. Because he makes it clear at the end, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We keep building our human strength, which in turn is really making us weak. Think about it. I told you one of the biggest things I got with a group, a lot of us, and you know, trying to be Christians, so we read the Bible, and I think people got emotionally attached to where we start reading all these other books. Now, in no way am I taking you off of reading other books. I'm saying just be careful, because people start getting puffed up in their knowledge, as the Bible said. But the knowledge was coming from intellectuals writing books to give you insight on other things that the Bible could have said and what happened during that time. And then people thought they had this other knowledge, so they're giving you this stuff, and they're not giving you the word. And a lot of us will cling on to what it was instead of what the Bible says. Do you understand this? And then we once again become truly weak instead of us becoming truly strong. Okay? So this power we have access to, if we keep engaging self, keep depending on self, and even in reverse, keep blaming because of what happened to self, we're going to stay weak. Also, we see that the benefits of God's power is our lives. The benefit of God's power in our lives covers much. Okay. So you'll see it in every avenue of every situation you go through. Colossians 1, 9 through 14 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God, watch this, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, to fill you with the knowledge of his will. There's a order my steps I'm working on. I don't know, it might be done for this other coming up. I know a person who went to a counseling, okay? And they had a, they're not in our church. So it was, they went to their pastor who really did do, it was actually another minister in the church, who really did do spiritual counseling, okay? And the person was clear, I couldn't get down with the answers and I didn't feel any better. That was their exact words. So then they went out and they got a quote unquote licensed counselor. And they said, man, things are going great. I feel so much better. Now I'm glad I got to have a conversation with the person. And as I'm saying, so explain to me what changed. And everything you heard them say was based upon their fleshly feeling, not their spiritual outcome. In fact, you've seen them distance themselves without even realizing it. These were once again so-called Christians away from God because of how they felt. Now, the further I get away from God, the weaker I become, and so on and so forth. And now I'm open up to Satan attacking, and we're getting our butts kicked. That's why he's saying, no, I need you to be filled with the knowledge of his will through what? Spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. If I can get you with some people on the outside to attach and make your flesh feel good, you'll get further and further away from the spiritual and cling on to the flesh. That's the key. But when you get spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, you're going to really understand and live in his will. Now, this is why I had to really learn, because I had a lot of people who called themselves encouraging who would keep giving me what they seen encouragement, not what God said encouragement. And we still do that today as Christians, don't we? We see an outcome. Oh, man, God is really blessing. Is he? What was that based on what you just said? What was that based on? Well, look, he did this, and now he has this, and now he's this, and he's here. That may be great, but are you sure what you're saying is based on sound doctrine, or is it based on how you see it? But you won't know that if you don't have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. It goes on to say, and we pray this in order that, watch this, you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. If I keep doing what the world says, you're going to think some of the most successful people are the ones that are going to do what we do in the world today. Because think about it. The richest people, they get over and things happen to them. Things, you know, they get access to everything and everything just falls into place for them. And they think that's what's going to happen in heaven. They're going to walk into heaven and say, God, I'm very successful. Look how great I am. Look how smart I am. Look at all that I've done. And he's going to say, I never knew. It's the problem, because we're here to live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, if you take some people who really think you're living a great life, what's the only question you have to ask? Hey, show me how your life is worthy based on God's word. We have the measuring point through God's word. So why are we using that? Why am I still having people measure themselves with other people and with themselves? As the Bible says, it's not wise. He says we're supposed to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. What does that mean? God should be able to take me out of a very comfortable life and put me in a very uncomfortable life, and my life's still the same. What I mean by life is what I'm projecting, what I am showing, because I live for God, not for that situation. See the difference? My situation will not define me. I will please him. Everything I can do, I can say, I did this because his word said. I could do this because his word said. That's why he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You understand it? Because I will also bearing fruit in every good work. Two things. The fruit, we talk about the fruit, which only comes from the Spirit, and it only comes from good work. Only God is good, not just work. You got some very busy people who are worthlessly working. What they're doing is doing nothing. You understand that? Growing in the knowledge of God. That's not just growing in knowing. It's growing in the knowledge of God. So you're seeing, as I gain this relationship with him, I mature. You'll see a maturity. Now, if I'm still doing the same foolish things I was doing 5 years ago, I'm not growing. I'm doing the same foolish things I did 50 years ago. I'm not growing. I don't care how old you are. Maturity is not based on time. Maturity is based on life growth, life changes, how you react. Some are still going, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, well, this used to bother me, but it doesn't bother me anymore. Let me give you something here. That's not growth. That's not growth. That's just your flesh getting over something. That's not growth. Please don't equate that to growth. The Bible doesn't say it won't bother you anymore. The Bible says you won't be bothered. Know the difference. Okay. What the Bible is showing us is where he can say, be, you know, when he tells us he can command you, you'll react despite your feelings. It may still feel the same way, even stronger later, but your reaction will always be in what he says. That's when you've matured. Not, oh, it doesn't bother me anymore. That's just the flesh. The flesh just got over it. That's all. And it's not that you grew. There's something else that's bothering you. There's something else that's going to get you. The flesh is still in charge. And he says, all this comes from, verse 11, being strengthened with all power. Watch this. According to his glorious might. Okay. So your strength and your abilities will all be based on what his word says. It won't be based on you saying, well, because I did this real hard, because I, you know, ran a mile every day, because I only eat Wheaties, because I only did this or that, and so on and so forth. Do people eat Wheaties anymore? Anyway, but either which way, we add the stuff in which we've made up, I did this, and you'll hear people saying stuff they did and give that stuff they did credit. While in reality, if it's not according to his glorious might, you have fleshly strength. And it's not doing you any good. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Watch this. So that you may have great endurance, patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So this leads to a thing. This leads to what we need to be. For me to have true endurance, to have true patience, and to be truly joyful, I have to be strengthened by his power. That's where situations won't touch me, because he didn't say you'll have great situations. No, he said you'll have endurance, which means I'm going to go through some tough situations. But and the reason why it's called great endurance is because it's not going to make sense. How is he still dealing with that? Why is he still dealing with that person? They treat him that bad. Great patience. Same thing. Keep dealing with those people and they keep ignoring you. Jesus, when did you throw in jail instead of that person? Right? Our guide, our leader, our teacher in every way. Why aren't we having that same patience? Joyful. Depression is so deep in the church because we keep dealing with how we feel, what we want, what we see, what I can and cannot do. True joy is based on his glorious power, giving thanks to the Father. And that's what I'm saying. We thank him no matter what. That would never change. That's why, because we understand this last part. This last part would understand why we truly thank him, because we understand its power. It says, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light? For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Now, for most, that sounds like a whole bunch of jibber jabber. It's like, oh, okay, that's nice. Yep, thank you, God. Amen. Those who really go into it and realize what he just said, he has qualified you. Usually you have to do something to be qualified, and he said, no, I'm gonna let you in. You not only didn't you do anything, you really deserved the bad, you know, the opposite of this, but I'm gonna let you to come in to share in an inheritance of the saints. You understand? Because this of the saints are those who are following him. You understand? But they don't get it because they're following him. We did it because of Christ. We get it because of Christ. It says, for he has, watch this, rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We could have gotten away, but man, thank God he still came in and got us out of it and brought us into. So not only did he take us out of danger, he brought us into this luxury, into this eternity. Do you understand that? Of the Son he loves. He gave up his Son for all of us to have this, in whom we have redemption. What is redemption? He paid for it. His Son paid for it. He was like, I'll go take the blame that they were supposed to take. I'll go take the punishment that they were supposed to. He did all this for us, and he allowed us to be forgiven for sins, even though we don't deserve forgiveness. Now a person will get it. Now I'm going to 100% live for God. But if you get it, but you still got Christians that feel entitled. Well, God, why don't I have this? How come I'm still lonely? How come I'm still hurting? How come you didn't take this away from me? How come I don't have as much money? How come? We go through that. Now, understand, you may feel that way. I'm not talking about those people, because that's your flesh. Your flesh is always going to feel that way. Those things are always going to linger in your flesh. It's those who respond to the flesh that I'm talking to and that the Bible's talking to. Those who ignore the flesh and still display his glory and still display their thankfulness in him and live in his mercy and his grace, despite how they feel, man, that's what the Bible's talking about. It's giving the strength and showing those people. Now, we talk about this power that you have to deal with all situations. Okay. And just going through this, hopefully you recognize that many of us do not deal with situations with God's power. We'll say things like, I'm just trusting in God, and then we'll go do something. So we're not trusting in God. Do you understand? It's like me saying, I'm really trusting in my car to get me there on time. Then you see me start running. That's stupid sounding, but that's exactly what we do. We got this word that tells us what to do. And I say I trust in it, but either I don't know it, I'm not trying to understand it, and I'm definitely not applying it. But I say I'm trusting in God. Remember, God cannot be mocked. So do I really trust in God? And why am I not delving into what are you saying, God, so I can apply it? And even when I apply it, even though I may not see the outcome that I think should happen, I'm glorifying you because I know what should be happening is happening. That's trusting in God. You understand this? But we still keep going by our sight of what we want. But the way to access this power, okay, the way we get it is through faith. And this is what Satan has done successfully also, is he's distorted the true definition of faith. Because a lot of people's faith just falls on what I want. I wanted this. I have faith I'm going to get it. Oh, man, it didn't happen. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. I'll do it again. And then we go through that. Have no idea what true faith is. Once again, faith is a lifestyle. All this, Christianity, grace, all of it is going to all be how you live. It's going to set the basis. But watch what he says here in this faith. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that leaves off of what we just got. We don't deserve any of this. And he just really provided us with all of this. And watch this, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, I got to stop here real quick because this is one of the verses that the Eternal Security Group, they'll go, oh, see, I got an inheritance and nothing will happen to that inheritance. Absolutely right. Nothing will happen to that inheritance, but I can decline the inheritance. We never said something happens to the inheritance. God's grace doesn't go away. God's grace doesn't expire. God's grace doesn't waste away. Do I accept his grace? Remember, he said he so loved the world. A person can't lose their salvation. A person can decline it. This here that he offered to us is always offered until I can't get it anymore. and it still didn't end. I just lost and I went the other way. That's why I said it's kept in heaven for you. It never goes bad, but we eventually decline. You understand that? So please keep that in mind. This in no way is it saying because you got it, it'll never, and you having it will never fade, because we have other verses that would clash with that. And that's what, and the Bible complements itself to let us know, if I, those who are going to hell, it's their choice. They're choosing not to accept and receive this great inheritance. Okay, just want to make sure that's clear. But he goes on to say, kept in heaven for you, watch this, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Stop there for a minute. So if I use anything else, my money, my intelligence, my family name, my background, where I live, my ideologies, I go down the list of anything to protect me, I'm outside of God's power. That's why I said through faith are shielded, because the only way I'm really getting behind that shield that's protecting me is through faith. That means I'm doing what my Father says. When I do that, I'm behind the shield. When I do something else, I'm stepping outside the shield. And not only do I do it at the times I think things are going on, I do it until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We consider ourselves saved, but we're still waiting for the salvation. So we stay in his protection that he offers to us, which is still a choice. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Christians are like, man, thank you, God. And we show it by staying within that. And we greatly rejoice. Watch this. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. What is he saying here? He's saying, why do you have Christians counting it pure joy, even though they're going to go through some things that are going to hurt? Why? Why are they rejoicing? Why? He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. So you see the value of faith, which perishes even though refined by fire. Now, let me explain what he's saying here. We first seen up here that it's the faith that keeps us in the protection. Okay? So how I get access to God's power is through faith. Here's the problem with faith. Faith itself is strong, but my faith, which is greater worth than gold, should be the most valuable thing in my life. I don't treat it that way. How do I know that? He says, faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. Do we break our necks to get the word of God? No. We break our necks to get entertainment, break our necks to get happiness, break our necks to get relationship, break our necks to get money. But when it comes to God's word, we do it when we can, as long as you make it convenient for me, as long as it's okay, as long as it doesn't take too much time, as long as the pastor don't keep talking. You see where I'm going with this? Okay? It shows us that the value of this should be so great, nothing else should ever go ahead of that. Okay, it's faith is greater, but he says, as valuable as it is, we allow it to perish, even though it's refined by fire, even though it's pure, it perishes even though refined by fire. It's the most purest, greatest thing. We will still let it go. We'll still go after emotions instead of our faith. We'll still go after sight instead of our faith. We'll still lean on our strength instead of our faith. Even though we have the greatest thing you could have, you still keep leaning on these weak things instead of faith. So he puts you through trials, these tests here, to prove or shore our faith. Did y'all catch that? It shores our faith. It says may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Did y'all catch that? When it may be proved genuine. Because you want to make sure you're not leaning on your emotions. How will you know that? You go through a trial. How did you react? Now, a Christian will go, wait, I failed. Got to get back in the word, so I'm leaning on faith. And it's not just those who are just in the word. You're going to keep applying it in order that your faith grows strong so that no matter what you go through, may it be desirable or undesirable, you keep coming out obeying God. That's going to be the difference maker. Please don't get clouded by the situations itself. Say, no matter what the situation, I'm going to obey God. There may be somebody you love to death, but how you treat them is going to be what God says. There may be somebody that can't stand you, and you're going to love them the way God says because of what God says. All of that's going to be through faith. You're going to feel a certain way. And we're going to talk about those other two things of dealing in relationships and dealing with self. That's part of the power. But all these situations, it's going to save us from a situation ever touching. This is why time and chance can happen to all of us, and it shouldn't matter. That's why in Ecclesiastes, it says time and chance happens to them all. But Christians changed it. Later on, they were like, no, things happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Isn't what we say? No, the word does say, and we know in all things, God works for the good. You know what I mean? So he works on it. But we don't see a verse that says everything happens for a reason. We made that up because it sounds more meaningful. Instead of him going, nope, you may be at the right, this place at this time, and this is going to happen. It just so happens it's just because of where you're at. But to a Christian, it doesn't matter because the situations don't define us. Do you get this? The important part is I'm got his power no matter where I'm at, no matter what time it is, as long as I stay behind it. I'm depending on the faith as long as I'm truly depending on it, no matter the situation and no matter the place. Any questions? And not only on this, anything. Is y'all clear on this so far, I take it? Amen? Unless you're all asleep and I didn't wake y'all up. All right. And no other questions other than that, right? All right. If there's nothing else, we can pray out.
Wait a minute.
So I have a different question. I can't remember the question. I was having a conversation with somebody about death.
Oops.
And so when someone dies, that has to do with time and chance, or just that it's a everyone has a season to die.
Everybody has a time to die, but you could die before your time.
And is that time and chance when you die before your time?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not necessarily. Dying before your time, it fits more into sin and foolishness. Okay, so that plays a part. But when you die and it's not of somebody else in a murderous case or you doing something foolish, that was your time.
So if you drive in your car and somebody hits you, that's time and chance.
It could be time and chance, or it could be that other person being crazy, or it could be you being foolish in how you drive. Now, I'm saying we don't know that directly exactly what happened, but it could be one of those three things. Either somebody else did something, which would be them taking your life, you doing something foolish, which has shortened your life, or it could be time and chance. It was your time.
So it could be either or.
Mm-hmm. Either or. Oh. Or. Yeah, two or.
I'm tired. Okay.
So you can interrupt your time. And I say that meaning how?
Huh?
No, like it's, people can do a CPR or whatever, bring people back. They die and bring people back.
If so it was their time, if there was their time, CPR is not going to do anything for you. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And all these procedures that doctors and stuff like that do, praise God, when they work and things of that sort. But either which case, if it's your time, it will not, you know what I mean? And as I heard Sister Carolyn say, Hezekiah was one of those that his real time was after he put in this petition and things of that sort. Do you understand that? So God shows us other things to for us to get our full time that we're supposed to do in life. So we might live our life and not live dangerously. Like I'm not, you know, climbing Mount Everest or jumping out of a plane and doing some crazy stuff and still die before my time because I still lived foolish. Because remember, foolishness isn't just what we see as foolishness. It could be living based on other things other than what God says. Because unfortunately, in some cases, there are going to be some medical procedures that we're doing that are more foolishness. There's some medical procedures that we're not doing that is more foolishness. Do you see where I'm coming from? And the only way we know that answer is by living in his wisdom. When you have his wisdom, things will be very clear. When it's not his wisdom, you'll be conned, and a lot of people are going to die before their time.
So back then, you say Hezekiah, mm-hmm. and God had told him he was going to die that night, and then he begged for it. So, and you said 15 years,
mm-hmm.
he, you said that was his time.
Yep.
So for God to say this is to, like, it's God's mercy, or God does what he wants to do, or How does that work?
So God put out there, and He presented it. He presented His do not be anxious about anything, but prayer, petition with thanksgiving. So He still presented His request. If it wasn't, God was just saying, "No, I say what I say. That's where it is." In this, just like, because you know, people like to say, "Oh man, Moses changed God's mind." People like to say that, even though the Bible clearly says, "Man can't change your mind." So what it's showing is people are working within His will. You understand that? So what Hezekiah did was worked within His will, because if it was His time, it would not have worked.
So that's just the analogy you talk about, the algorithm.
The algorithm, exactly. We see sometimes God's will as an on and off switch. He says this, that's it. When you look at the Bible, His thing works this way. This is going to happen, but if you do this, this can happen. If you do this, this can happen. And His Bible, His word, His will is a whole series of choices based on Him. Those who stay within His will in the right way are going to end up, you're going to get a lot in this life and the life to come. Those who are doing the wrong things, you're going to get beat up in this life and the life to come. And that's going to be, it's more than just us oversimplifying it, because people say, well, He told him he's going to die. Why didn't he just die? We oversimplify instead of going, oh, wait a minute, there was more to that. And the way we know the more is because the Bible shows us these different avenues. So we see in Moses' case how he can intervene. And this is why intervening for others is so important. He intervened for to the Israelites, because God could have destroyed them. We've seen him do with Sodom and Gomorrah and still had people for himself. No problem. So Moses probably couldn't have done it. I mean, wouldn't have done it. And he destroyed them, got a stick or something and made somebody else. You know what I mean? Because he's God. He can do all of it. But through the intervening, because of what the Bible shows and how certain things we're doing, we don't realize these little things that we're doing when we follow Him and the power that's behind them. But when we work through our own human logic and our own human understanding, that's why He tells you, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding. We're limiting ourselves. And that's what so many people are doing. We're still stuck in it. I don't understand. So we stop. And now all the benefits we could have, we're missing out on because we're stuck on, I don't get it, if that makes sense.
So the more you're in His will, the more you know how to pray. Like you said, intervene, or you know what?
It'll be based on
letting God lead you anyway. Huh?
Yep, it'll be based on Him. Mm-hmm. That's why most people, when they say they're being led by God, it's usually a feeling. They'll say, I'm waiting for God to tell me. I'm waiting for Him to tell me something. I want to hear Him speak. And 95% of His speaking, as it says in Hebrews 1, is going to be in this word. But we're not in the word, or we're in the word and we're not listening to what He says. We're waiting for some sky to open and this voice to come and sound like a talk show host to tell us, go do this, Keith. And it's going to be some fantastical event. And that's not the case. A lot of it are very basic things. And you're like, praise God. That's what I'll do. You know what I mean? And that's it. And you got the answer. And you're living in that. And you keep going back to this word to get His voice. And you want to hear and you receive what He's saying. This word is powerful. But we don't treat it as powerful.
Was that like when people say, well, I want to leave, I stop teaching in the Bible school, but God hasn't told me I can leave yet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, because we want to go where we desire, because a lot of it's going to fall into, a lot of His answers on some of the things are, it don't matter what you do. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7. Because remember, He says, if you're a slave, don't let it trouble you. But if you can gain your freedom, go ahead and do it. Because His answer is, I don't care what you do. If you stay in a slavery, or if you're able to get out of it, either which way, you better serve me. So that's why, like, sometimes you may get two job interviews and you may go, man, both of them are great. I want them both. I'm waiting for God to give me an answer. God was like, I don't care what job you take. You better glorify me. That's the key. But we like to turn it into, nope, I had this job especially for you. So that means no matter which job you take, you go, I'm probably supposed to take the other one. You know what I mean? When He really wants you to take something, it's going to be totally in line with His word. You'll see it. It won't be one of those mysteries of, should I have taken that one? Should I have gone to this place? It'll be something that you'll look back and go, the word said this, but I definitely went this way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the word. It's not going to be one of those mysteries of, oh, I wonder if God was giving me. It's not going to be that. The word right now, we have that light to give us the assurance and the understanding. And if I make an emotional decision, somebody will be able to go, you know, the word says this. So why'd you do that? And then we'll say something. Well, God told me to. Okay. Because nobody's going to argue with you on that because they don't know. But usually you could tell, because God's not going to go against God.
That's like we were talking about prophets today. And I was saying that this one prophet, I said, I couldn't really, my friend was talking about him. I said, I told her, I said, this guy kind of creeps me out. I said, he wears all black. He got black hair, long hair with a pin in the back of his hair. And he wears black leather jacket all the time. And she said, well, sometimes, you know, his prophecies are correct. And then that other prophet, Cat Car, I think her name is, she got pink hair. And she said, God told her to color her hair pink. He said, I don't know why, but he told me, you know, so I did it. So we were talking about that. I said, why would God tell her to color her hair pink? And then I started talking about, you know, the prophet, God told him to lay on the side and to burn and cook the food with dung and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I can't say he didn't tell her to paint her hair pink, because maybe he did. Well, I don't know the reason, but he may have.
And a lot of times when he did stuff like that, there is meaning behind it, like laying on the side and like what he told Hosea to marry the prostitute. Things of those, and especially, and most of those were Old Testament, once again, as a ministry, and it put that out there. I wouldn't get caught up, and I'm glad you even said that, because if a person said, God told me to do something, we see it that as trivial or what we call disputable, we just go, okay, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You paint your hair, you're pink. But one thing God's not going to say is something that, once again, that goes against him. If that makes sense, you know what I mean? You know, there was a woman I remember who called herself a prophetess, and she was married to a guy who was a minister, and she said God told her to leave him and go marry this other guy who wasn't even a Christian. And she was very clear about it, but she had so many people that were following her. They say, well, if God told her to do it, isn't she supposed to do it? Isn't she supposed to be obedient? And I'm kind of saying, are y'all serious? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Test the spirits. What is it? Why would God tell us the things he said against divorce and do not be unequally yoked? And she's going to do exactly both those things and say it comes from God and y'all are following her? And of course, they told me I was immature and didn't know what I was talking about. But I get it.
Oh, you were immature?
Oh, yeah. They told me because you don't understand. You don't hear the voice of God and all stuff. I'm like, it's the Bible. I'm showing them it in the Bible. But you get stuff like that and people get caught up in an emotional thing because they really think they have this connection when we have our protection here. We have his word and we have that guidance. Why aren't we following that? And that's where, like I said, we end up falling to these people who want a mystical, magical thing instead of the true mystical, magical thing we have, which is in the word of God.
Thank you.
Yep. Other questions? All right. Praise God. Once again, check everything that we went over today, questions we had. You can listen to it. Make sure it's sound in his word. And if things come up, ask the question to make sure you're getting what the word is saying, not what I'm saying. All right. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you for your word, dear Lord, and help us to continue to plant, water, but to allow you to work, to shine you, dear Lord, to walk in such a way that we display you in all that we do. We thank you so much, dear God, for your grace, for allowing your son to be in our place, even though we don't deserve it. Help us think of this every minute of every day, dear God, so we live in such a way that we're really recognizing the gift that you have offered to us, that the power that you have given us that we can stay in. Help us not to be distracted by sight, by emotion, by anything of our flesh, dear Lord, but to be led by your spirit more and more each day. Let us grow and encourage each other in spirit, dear God, and do the things we need to that your word is showing us clearly, and not be clouded by our desires and by what the world says it's promising us. We can't thank you enough for the love you continue to give us. We ask for blessings and comfort for those who are struggling. Help those who are going through trials to really embrace and take on what these trials are offering and not to allow it to tear them down or for them to be discouraged. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And all these blessings we ask in your son and our savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. Love you all.